Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, back to the 2019 MLB Winter Meetings. Presented by your San Diego Honda dealers on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Well, if Woods sounds like he's feeling a little bit better today, there could be a reason for that. Well, first of all, you know, yesterday you were just...
I was dying.
You were not. You're not in top Woods form. I appreciate you fighting it out with us here.
I barely remember, like, the first hour of the show. I was pretty jacked up on cold meds when I got here, and who knows what kind of outlandish things I said. But I just remember my head, I could not focus all day. It was a terrible, terrible show for me, so thanks for carrying me.
Yeah, the throat spray, which I hadn't seen in a long time.
Chloraseptic.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't even know they still made that stuff.
So it's funny, I got home and I tweeted. I was just lying in bed just feeling like dirt, and I tweeted. I'm like, man, they should sell Z-Packs at CVS. It's a five-day antibiotic, right? I'm like, they should sell those at CVS because they work. It works so I get sick twice a year. It knocks it out both times. So I tweet, man, they should sell these. Nobody's trying to get faded off of antibiotics. You know, hey, man, I took a bunch of amoxicillin last night, and let me tell you, I got a hammer.
It was a party.
It was. I mean, I crushed it up. I snorted it. Yeah, nobody's trying to do that with antibiotics. So I tweet that, and a guy DMs me last night. He goes, hey, man, I can bring you one tomorrow at the hotel if you like. I'm like, you're kidding me. And he said, no problem. My sister is a doctor, and we keep some around. I'm absolutely. So he just brought me one. So I got my day one, two antibiotics in, thanks to one of our tier one listeners. I don't want to say his name. I'll just say a sweet angel. Flew in with a Z-Pack for your boy. I already feel better.
I know there's some doctors and public health officials out there who are shaking their head going, hey, you can't just give yourself antibiotics.
Shake away.
The bacteria will become resistant. Yeah. We won't have them.
Twice a year is
society
all I need.
Will collapse because of people like you.
Mm-mm.
Woods, just so you know. Or you'll just start feeling better in a couple of days.
I honestly, like, if that's your
thought.
But
if you had a virus, antibiotics aren't going to do anything.
Funny thing is like, when you
think they do, but they don't.
When you know yourself and you know what you need, like, I know what I need to feel better.
You are just so in tune with inner rhythms in your body.
It's exactly right. And I know I will be feeling great.
Chakras
now.
Back in line.
And it's probably in my head, you know? Like, it probably is. But
it's very much in your head.
I don't care.
But I'm glad you're
feeling better.
I really am, because we do. We got three more hours here.
Oh, wow.
Want to get into some of the Padres. You know, obviously, it's been a quieter winter meetings for the Padres than some other teams, because they did a lot of their work before they got here. They made several moves prior to the winter meetings, and I haven't really announced anything here other than finally signing off on the Tommy Pham trade.
Yep.
But otherwise been pretty quiet. Now, from what I've heard, AJ's been a lunatic on the phones, the texts, the meetings in room with other GMs trying to pull off more deals. He's not done by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, I don't think it's from a lack of effort.
No, I don't
know. I just think it hasn't materialized as of yet. Now, doesn't mean it won't, but there's still, you know, I don't want to go into 2020 if this is the roster as it looks today. I don't think that's a winning roster right now.
Well, one player that seems to be available, and we talked about in the past as someone that could make sense for the Padres given their needs, is Starling Marte of the Pittsburgh Pirates. And officially yesterday, he was linked to the Padres in rumors. There was a couple of the national insiders who said, hey, here in Padres, Pirates, talking about a potential Starling Marte trade. What do you think in terms of Starling Marte to the Padres? What would you be willing to give up? How big of a piece would that be if they're able to pull him in?
You know, I, without doing a ton of research on Starling Marte, and pretty much, you know, you guys know me and our show, we're really the eye test kind of guys. That doesn't really fly these days in as it pertains to trades and whatnot. So I did see some people last night saying, I'm kind of soured on Marte. His projections actually don't look that great. Is he an upgrade of what we have in center field right now? Yeah, absolutely, he's an upgrade. Depending on what it would take to get him, if it's now a esteemed colleague of ours, Ben, I did see on his website that he said the ask for Starling Marte was Austin Hedges and Cal Quantrill. If that's the ask for Starling Marte, I'm doing that deal today.
That's not it. I can almost guarantee you that that's not it.
So why didn't you just wave me away and roll your eyes?
Don't get your hopes up. If something sounds too good to be true, I'm a very big believer in this. It usually is. Now, as for projections, he's 31 years old.
Yep.
So you do expect, at the very most, he's kind of plateaued. His 2019 season, though, Woods, was better than his career averages. Last year, Starling Marte for the Pittsburgh Pirates hit .295, 23 homers, 82 runs batted in, .845 OPS, 25 stolen bases. He's a two-time gold glover in the National League, can play all the outfield positions, including center field. You can put him out there in center. You're going to get a plus defender. And then career, he's a .287 hitter with just under .800 OPS. You get something like that from Starling Marte with good defense, I mean, for another year or two, I can't see why he wouldn't be able to still put up similar numbers. It's not like he's 35.
Well, I think
he's 31.
I totally understand what you're saying. I did, you know, and again, I
he's right-handed, which is not exactly what the Padres have needed. Although they've gotten more balanced already off season with some of their acquisitions, so maybe there is room for another right-handed, especially if you're able to trade off Will Myers at some point.
Well, that's,
I think Starling Marte makes more sense.
The problem is, Benny, and you said it yesterday, you don't want to trade one problem for the other. And I as we talk about Will Myers going forward, you know, I think that it's partly on Will because of the lack of performance in certain times, and then I think it's partly on the Padres organization. Moving a player around, you know, him being open to being moved around, wanting to be in the lineup, fine. It hasn't worked out. He's not going to be Ben Zobrist. I think we can all – it's not a role he's comfortable in doing. So find a spot for him, put him there, or get rid of him. Get rid of him at any cost. No matter what you have to eat, like if he's not a part of the future here, you've got to cut bait. And I'm not saying that you should. I'm also the guy that said yesterday with the new voice in the clubhouse, it's apparent that he and Andy Green clashed. We heard it. There's audio evidence that he was not a fan of Andy Green. There's rumors and whispers that he wasn't a fan of Andy Green and vice versa. So maybe you just roll with him in left field for now.
Our 97.3
or right field or
the
wherever.
Fan Padres insider AJ Cassavell wrote something that I thought was very wise about Will Myers yesterday. He said Will Myers can be the best player on the field often.
No doubt.
At the end of last season, you can make the argument, no one was hotter at the plate in September and had more production in the Padres lineup than Will Myers. But he is prone to wild bouts of inconsistency and huge slumps that he just can't break his way out of. And AJ said that, in fact, Will Myers is so inconsistent that you can almost count on his inconsistency.
Correct.
That he is consistently
inconsistent. Yeah.
And at this point in his career, it's hard to imagine him shaking that. No matter what coaching changes you make, what different voices you get in the clubhouse, how are you going to get a guy who is prone just to long slumps to just stop doing that at this stage of his professional career?
Yeah, I don't know. And, the thing is, when other teams know you're desperate, you know, if the Royals know you're desperate to get rid of Will Myers, if the Red Sox know you're desperate to get rid of Will Myers, I mean, that changes everything. And when you look at Will Myers, if you're another team, if you're the Royals, if you're the Red Sox, where do you put Will Myers? I had a buddy that's a Red Sox fan yesterday, and I said, look, throw him at first base, platoon him with Mitch Moreland, call it a day, because the guy, when he played first base, was pretty good. He was pretty good, and then they went out and signed Eric Hosmer.
And when he hits, you know, left-handed pitching,
he's good.
He's pretty good.
So it's just, you know, it's a matter of trying to either find a spot for the guy. And I'm not, you know, I'm not putting it all on the Padres. Saying, oh, you guys have jerked him around. There's been some of that, I think, but I think a lot of it is, man, what's the adage? If you don't like being jerked around, then play better where they put you.
I think
he's not a Swiss Army.
I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who are thinking, at this moment. Well, you shouldn't have made it so obvious that you were desperate to move him. I mean, now it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Now all the other teams know it. It's going to be harder to swing a deal to get someone to take on his contract. I promise you, all the other teams already knew it. Before it was written about in newspapers and on blogs, every other team in Major League Baseball knew that the Padres had probably had enough with Will Myers and were looking to move his contract and save as much salary as possible and go in a different direction. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. These GMs know what's what, and they're not just, oh, did you see that A.J. Casaville wrote that the Padres are trying to dump Will Myers? Well, we're not going to offer much for him if that's what the – no, they knew that long before anyone in the media was talking about it. So, yeah, this isn't some state secret.
Sure.
That the Padres are trying to get rid of Will.
No, it's not.
But they also have to play it the other way because they know he may still be on – you can't just cut him. With $60 million at this point, you have to give him another chance. So if they can't trade him, you also have to still talk him up and say, you know, we've got confidence that if he's back, you know, we think he could still be a good player for us, because you have to say that.
Well, and the tough thing, too, is, you know, you see a lot of people saying, well, just platoon him at first with Hosmer. I mean, how does that work? $42 million.
I've said it before.
Yeah, $42 million.
I've said it before.
You can't have a $22 million guy or a $20 million guy sitting on the bench.
You absolutely can. If that makes you a better team on the field, wipe the salaries out of your mind.
Hey, man, I'd love to
see you. And play the best players that give you the best chance to win.
I'd love to see you explain that to either of those guys. I would. I'd love to see you sit there. Guys, here's what we're going to do. Eric, you're going to hit against righties exclusively. Will, you're going to hit against lefties exclusively. You guys have a good day. I'll see you later. I mean, how's that going to work?
Honestly, if the Padres were winning, Hosmer's still going to get plenty of at-bats against righties. His average is going to go up. His OPS is going to go up if he's just facing righties. Will Myers is probably going to have good numbers against lefties if he's at first base. And they're still going to make all the money that they've – it's not like they're playing for less. It's not like the Padres get to ask for
some
money back.
No, they're going to dock their pay. But
they're not going to dock their pay. They're both going to have successful seasons. This is what managers and good coaches and good front offices need to do. They need to be thinking outside the box. Sunk cost. You are paying that money to Will Myers, unless you can trade him. You are paying that money to Eric Hosmer no matter what. Would you rather have them out there every day hitting 250, or would you rather have them both platooning and hitting 290, you know, with better power numbers and better on-base numbers? I think the answer is very simple. Yeah, it requires a bit of an ego check, especially for a guy like Hosmer, who has been an everyday starter his whole career.
Yep.
If he can't hit lefties, why do you put him in against lefties? Doesn't make any sense to me. He can be a leader from the bench. He can be a better leader. You know, he can be a better leader and show by example that I'm taking this one for the team because I know this is better for what's us. That screams leadership to
totally,
me.
Totally.
You don't like the idea of the first base platoon.
I mean,
you?
Look.
I really do.
Hey, in theory, it's a friggin' great idea. In theory,
this is why I'm not the GM of the manager.
It's the execution of said lineup that is going to be hard to swallow.
We are at the Baseball Winter Meetings. 97.3 is the fan coverage brought to you by your San Diego Honda dealers. Take advantage of end-of-the-year offers on your favorite Honda model. Your San Diego Honda dealers are ready to wrap up a deal you'll love at their Happy Honda Day sales event. Visit SDHondaDealers.com. Don't Do This is coming up next. I'm going golf, but Woodsy, I'm also going prostitution, so that should at least cover it for you.
I'm sold. Two of my favorite things.
Things I never thought I'd hear Ben say.
Right now, let's get a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan with Sue DeVinci.
Want to know what's going on with the Padres? This is coverage of the 2019 MLB Winter Meetings. Presented by your San Diego Honda dealers. On San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
I know we've been talking a lot of baseball this week, as we should be here at the Winter Meetings. But when you have ESPN's Chris Mortensen, you still make a little time
absolutely
to talk football. And we are getting set for week 15
of
the NFL season.
It's almost over.
Begins tonight. New York Jets and the Baltimore Ravens, which shouldn't be a good game, but it's the NFL, so you never really know. Mort, join us in just about 10 minutes from now. I want to remind you, sometime in the next 30 minutes, listen for your name to be called and call us back in 10 minutes as the biggest fan to win a family four-pack of tickets to 97.3 The Fan Takeover Night on Friday, December 13th, tomorrow. during the SeaWorld Christmas celebration presented by Sprint. Experience over 1 million lights and all new shows and attractions like the Sesame Street Christmas Village, the Winter Wonderland on Ice Show, and the Sir Christmas Show. And if you call back in time, you'll be entered to win our grand prize, the perfect Christmas gift, a Barry Manilow Vegas getaway, including two VIP tickets to see Manilow perform at the International Theater at the Westgate Las Vegas, dinner for two at the Edge Steakhouse, and a Serenity Spa experience. Sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter. I was trying to speed things up a little bit.
I had to do it when you were gone. I hated every second of it.
Couldn't quite get there, so.
Believe you
That's coming up sometime later
Steakhouse?
All right, don't do this. Three stories that make you shake your head. Let's get to it.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Why?
With Ben and Woods.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
Presented by Hamul Casino.
Be there or be square.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Woodsy, I will get us started. A little update, I believe, on the Don't Do This from a few weeks ago. A guy who oftentimes you would have seen here at the baseball winter meetings, Jonah Carey, former columnist for The Athletic, New York Times best-selling baseball author, is in more hot water north of the border. The 45-year-old writer arrested on Tuesday in Canada and charged with eight new counts with a weapon, assault causing bodily harm, criminal harassment, and uttering threats. His wife is the complainant. He's also charged with endangering a child in this, a minor. Now, his lawyer says this is all from before. Nothing is new, but these are all charges that relate to a past incident with Jonah Carey. But either way, he's facing major charges. The Athletic quickly distanced themselves when the first arrest occurred back in July, and Carey was charged with assault causing bodily harm and uttering death threats earlier this year.
Oh, man. We've talked to Jonah Carey.
We have.
We've had him on the show.
No, as has probably everyone here.
Yeah. I mean, it was just when this came out, it was bananas when it came out. And then when the new charges came out, you're like, this guy's lost his mind. He's a lunatic. So that is a definite don't do this. There was one yesterday.
Don't do this.
Out of the NFL, go figure. But cornerback Janoris Jenkins tweeted a disparaging remark in response to a critical fan. I don't know if you know this, but New York Giant fans can be pretty critical on Twitter. And I believe they have every right to be. That team has been terrible for a long time. He was not practicing, though, because of an ankle injury, but he was defending his play this season. His teammates were out there practicing. He was at practice, not participating. And somebody tweeted him something. They asked why the stats he was using to showcase his effectiveness weren't contributing to any wins. And he tweeted back, and this is a quote. Please don't quote me on this. Don't pull this audio, Paul. It says, "I can only do my job, retard." And that did not obviously go over well. You can't say that. You don't say that right now in this year and time that we live in, and you should never have said it. But Coach Pat Shurmur, he was asked after practice about his injury. He said, "Look, he shouldn't be tweeting during practice anyway, much less tweeting things like that." So definitely made for don't do this, Janoris Jenkins. He did later apologize. "My apology for the word I used earlier. Really didn't mean no harm."
Don't do this.
Finally, Woodsy, you might remember a professional golfer, PGA Tour, won a tournament a couple of years back and made a lot of headlines simply for the fact that he didn't wear just the one golf glove, like most. He wore gloves on both hands. And
It's always made sense to me, by the way.
Quickly became known as Tommy Two Gloves Gainey. Well, Tommy Two Gloves Gainey, back in the news, according to TMZ Sports. Gainey was arrested, and they have video, by the way, undercover video, during a prostitution bust. Tommy Two Gloves Gainey was caught on tape negotiating a quick visit for $60 with an undercover officer posing as a prostitute. During the exchange, captured by hidden surveillance camera, he also said he was going to be in town for the rest of the week, clearly implying he could be a repeat customer. He was arrested and, kind of embarrassing. For Tommy Two Gloves Gainey.
I got a lot of questions.
You have a lot of questions.
Tommy Two Gloves Gainey.
He was one of 124 people busted.
Sounds like a 1920s mobster.
Okay, yeah, this is Tommy Two Gloves. Polk County, Florida.
Yeah, see? $60, see?
I have to give the...
I'll take my pants down, see?
Sheriff's Department there credit. They called their undercover operation, get this, Operation Santa's Naughty List.
Oh, my God.
Nah, see, it's Tommy Two Gloves. You naughty or you nice?
Yeah, dude, so $60. What is that getting you? Also, what an appropriate name for a guy visiting a prostitute, because you don't want to wear just one glove. You want to wear two. And I don't mean the gloves on your hands, Ben.
Cops said they used internet advertisements to arrange meetings between the detectives and the suspects over a six-day period. Tommy Ganey was booked and released and is facing charges.
Let me see his picture.
Tommy, it's not, well, you know, mugshots never look good. He doesn't, does he scream PGA Tour golfer in that mugshot?
You know what he screams? He screams methed out truck driver to me.
I'm thinking
he's got a he looks like
down on his luck contractor.
Yeah, he's got a the tip of his nose is really red too, so he's got a Rudolph thing.
Yeah, well, he looks like he works outside, which he does. You know, he's
is he still a golfer?
Yeah, he's still a golfer.
He's on the tour.
I don't think he's on the PGA Tour.
Oh,
he hasn't,
my God.
Hasn't been playing much lately, that's for sure. I've not seen his name. Pro golfer since 1997, joined the PGA Tour in 2008.
$60. What are you getting for $60, I wonder?
Not much. I'm trying to think of what anything that I can get for $60 involving service with a person nowadays.
This guy looks so creepy.
He does. That's not his first time. That's not the first time he's done that.
Yeah, see?
We have some ladies who clean our house once a month, and I guarantee it's more than
$60. I can promise you that it is.
There's not much you can get for $60 nowadays.
Wow. Well, listen. You gotta do what you gotta do, Tommy Ganey.
And that is Don't Do This.
That was Don't Do This, presented by Hamul Casino. Winning excitement has a new name, Hamul Casino, San Diego's newest, closest, and most genuinely entertaining place to play. Just 20 minutes from downtown Highway 94 to Campo Road.
And I still might trade Tommy Ganey for Patrick Reed on the President's Cup team.
I think you would.
For Team USA. That's how much I dislike Patrick Reed.
I think you would.
More report. We'll talk a little NFL football with our ESPN insider. That is coming up next here with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
We're live from sunup to sundown, covering the 2019 MLB Winter Meetings, presented by your San Diego Honda dealers on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Just start dancing pre-holiday party tonight.
Oh, boy.
Get our groove on.
6:30, this thing goes down tonight,
right? I don't
think
there's going to be any dance. Is there going to be dancing?
I don't know. I mean, maybe after there will be dancing.
You're not going to be after. You're not.
What's your ETA?
Like, the after party? Where's the after party, Woods?
So here's the deal with the morning. Like, we're on the morning show, so we got to get up. Tomorrow we're back on at 5. So that means I'm up again at 3:10. I've got a toddler who I'm bringing to the party. He usually goes to bed about 7. Party starts at 6:30. I'll be there till what? 7:15? 45 minutes? Did they do that on purpose to keep the morning shows out? Or
I don't think so.
Are we the only disciplined morning show?
I think a lot of people work until like 5.
Here's
so they
the question.
Need time to go home, change, come to the party.
Why not just stay?
Come
then?
On.
Like, why not just do it at 5 when the shift ends?
Well, see, then that's not really festive. Then it just feels like, you know, a regular work function as opposed to a real holiday
but
party.
We're having it in our office.
Well, you shouldn't have told. Now everyone's going to show up for our holiday
party.
Well,
they can't get in. You got to be an Intercom employee or a plus one. So I'm bringing the wife and kid. We'll be there for 45 minutes.
So that is definitely a new development. Last, 10, 15 years, the office parties have gone down in scale.
Yes.
We used to, you know, rent out a restaurant,
or
a hotel ballroom.
Fancy,
for all of the parties. Now it's, well, you know, we did a luncheon at Channel 10 the other day. And
is it Grinch-like for me to say that, okay, let's say that you guys spent $5,000 on the party. Just whack it up and cut everybody a check.
I want to know what, it's not that crazy. I want to know what the ESPN holiday party is like.
Oh, I bet it's insane.
So let's get to our Mort Report.
No one is more dialed in to the world of football than ESPN's Chris Mortensen. It's time for the Mort Report, presented by Hamul Casino with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
A I guess my first question has to be, has Mort ever actually even been to the ESPN holiday party? Because he's not there every day of the year. You know, he goes back home. He's not just sitting there in Bristol 365 days of the year. So, Mort, what's the story on the ESPN holiday party?
I have been to, I'll say, three or four in my almost 30 years. It's so long ago, I can tell you it was spectacular. It was at some private equestrian club, and they spared no expense, and it was fun.
Everyone went home with a polo horse. That's fantastic.
everyone got a driver.
Oh, that is fantastic, Mort. Ours is tonight. I'll be there for about 45 minutes because we got to get up and do a show.
One drink and you're good.
Yeah, that if even that. So
just a little eggnog, you know.
Yeah, just a little, which I just could never drink. But Mort, you know, we got a Thursday night football game. We're out here at the winter meetings. Of course, we've been talking mostly baseball all week long. But when it's time for Mort, we don't mess around. We always want to have Mort on the show. Tonight's game, Ravens Jets. I'm expecting a blowout, which means it should probably be a close game.
I'm expecting a blowout, and it will be a blowout.
So, good. I like your confidence.
Here's the thing. I mean, the Jets, even when they had a chance to be competitive, and listen, I could be wrong. They could be competitive tonight, but generally, they're not going to have Jamal Adams again. He's doubtful. So, I mean, that's their best player on defense. Their other top player on defense, C.J. Mosley, is down for the season. So the whole idea that you're going to stop this running game, and the Jets do pretty well up front against the running game, but they're missing key parts to that is kind of like it's really a stretch to think that'll happen. And then as far as the Jets moving the ball, you know, with Sam Darnold and Le'Veon Bell back from bowling, I would say that they have a chance to move the ball somewhat, except that, you know, the one overlooked part of the Ravens is Don Wink Martindale. That's the defensive coordinator. And just in reviewing with some people last week as they're getting ready to play Buffalo, they said he has the most sophisticated blitz package in the NFL. And it's not just – it's very creative. And to do that, your offensive line has to be – the communication standards have to be so high. So in a short week, I don't necessarily see it going well for Sam. I'm sure they'll have a game plan. And the only question we now have is, okay, Lamar Jackson, he says his quad's okay. I think if you read his body language, his face, I think he probably is okay. So then it's just a matter of, okay, how much are you going to expose him?
Mort, is this Spygate Part 2 for the New England Patriots or much ado about nothing? Should we believe Bill Belichick when he says, hey, we had nothing to do with this, innocent mistake by a web video crew that was filming a documentary, or is there something nefarious going on? What are you hearing on the Roger Goodell NFL investigation, and what could the punishments be coming down for the Patriots in this latest scandal?
Yeah, you're asking a lot of questions I can't answer because there is more investigation to go by the league office. I will tell you this, that from the moment, and it was actually during when we were on NFL Live at ESPN on Monday afternoon, when the story kind of broke, from Zach Taylor's press conference. He's the Bengals coach, and he gave it credence. And then I immediately contacted somebody with the Patriots communications department and a high-ranking executive there. And he was very open. I mean, he was right from the get-go. He said, look, this was an issue where we're doing this series. Do your job. On people that the general public, the Patriot fan base, never gets to see. It doesn't know what they do. The ticket manager, the equipment staff, went on and on. He said, in this case, it was the advanced scout. And a month ago, I requested credentials from the Browns because we were going to have the camera guys, the camera crew, follow him around, what an advanced scout does. And he goes, what I neglected to do was notify the Bengals that we're doing. The game was in Cleveland. That's why the Browns credentialed the game. And so, you know, in past lore of Spygate, it's like Patriot officials are supposed to cover up their Patriot logos. And to be honest with you, Spygate 2007, the thing that people don't actually know or remember is Bill Belichick didn't deny doing it. He thought he was within the rules, and that was his argument to Goodell, the commissioner. So in this case, I believe the Patriots. And the league will take a look at it more, and I think they'll come down with something, but it won't be anything significant in terms of discipline. That's my opinion, and which is really further than I should go as a reporter who's still reporting on the story.
Talking to Chris Mortensen from ESPN every Thursday here on Ben and Woods. Mort, have the Denver Broncos found a quarterback? I mean, Drew Locke, everybody had kind of high expectations for him, but he's looked pretty good so far. And did John Elway finally hit on one?
Well, I mean, it's too early, but I think he might have. I mean, the thing about Drew Locke coming out Missouri, I think he has something like 45 starts, and I might give or take a couple starts, which is really ideal. So when he has this, even though it was rough in OTAs and rough in training camp, and by the way, I mean, for rookies, why wouldn't it be rough? I mean, you know, they're playing a pro game, different terminology. At Missouri, he ran your simple offense, getting your signals on the signs there on the sideline, and so he struggled with some things. But the guy has an arm. I know it. I've been there. I actually remember when we were at the Manning Passing Academy. Drew was there. I'm in my golf cart, and I'm looking specifically at him, and I'm right behind where the quarterbacks are throwing. This is why Peyton and Eli Manning are putting the quarterbacks through a drill before the camp actually starts. And, somebody was sitting next to me, and I pointed out to him, I said, this is the kid from Missouri. And he let one go. And then he goes, ooh, he's got a good arm. It was that person sitting next to me was Mike Shanahan, who's seen a quarterback or two. And the thing about it is he's got a great person. He's got swagger to him. And I think when he had the thumb injury, might have done him a favor a little bit. He gets to sit back without all that pressure. The other thing is he's a second-round pick, not a first-round pick, which surprised a lot of teams. So I guess the answer to your question is probably has found them.
Mort, it's been 3 years, and I still, as a former Chargers fan, I still feel the sting of the team's move from San Diego. For someone my age, who's an Oakland Raiders fan, they're going to feel the sting for the second time in their life as the Oakland Raiders play their final game again in Oakland this Sunday against the Jacksonville Jaguars. What are your just kind of feelings on the end of the Oakland era? I'm sure you've seen some pretty crazy games and probably had some pretty crazy conversations with Al Davis over the years in Oakland. It's the end of an era again.
Well, first of all, it's a little different to me because the Raiders, the fans had experienced it for lengthy periods of time. And I do think that you'll see, planning 8 games or whatever it is, a trip to Las Vegas, it's going to be pretty easy for Raider fans. I mean, I realize there's expenses involved and all that, but it'll be different. But I just felt like, when the Raiders were bouncing back, I always felt like it was, they were the Oakland LA Raiders. And certainly, Al Davis, if I had very interesting conversations with him, probably one of the five most fascinating individuals I've ever covered in sports of all time, including the baseball 10-year stretch I had, attending many winter meetings, by the way. But we're still going to stop, and we're going to certainly take note of what this Sunday is all about. And you can bet John Gruden, the coach, would do the same. But I know this much. When the Las Vegas Stadium opens next year, it'll be full silver and black.
Mort, let's see. Who do we got on Monday Night Football this week with ESPN? I'm trying to get my schedule. My internet doesn't work as fast. Indy, New Orleans. That's not a bad game. I mean, Indianapolis has been they started out so well under Jacoby Brissett, and they've really hit the skids the last few weeks and have kind of fallen out of the AFC playoff picture. But another critical game for New Orleans, especially after losing that one to the 49ers last week.
Yeah, and New Orleans has a couple big-time injuries that, to me, can really place their Super Bowl hopes in jeopardy, which is Marcus Davenport, the pass rusher, out for the season. And Sheldon Rankins, another former first-round pick on the defensive line, also his season's in jeopardy. I haven't really checked in on that today. So that's a big deal. Now, the Colts, listen, they're dangerous. That team is going to be in the Super Bowl sometime in the next 3 years. So, listen, they've had their injuries. T.Y. Hilton, he tried to play one game. against the Texans. It wasn't good, so they just kind of, okay, that was a mistake to even try and play him. But their offensive line is just – actually, it's fun to watch. Their offensive line is fun to watch. Their running game will be good. You know, the defense has had a couple injuries too. But to me, it's looking at two teams that over the next 3 years, I can see them not just – not playing against each other necessarily, but I still think they're Super Bowl franchises. And I think they're good enough to put on a pretty nice game that you should tune into.
I got one more for you, Mort. The Saturday, the Heisman Trophy, probably going to go to Joe Burrow of LSU. Chase Young from Ohio State had an amazing season. Both are candidates to be the number one pick. Probably going to be the Cincinnati Bengals on the clock there. Who do you expect to go number one overall? I know it's a little early to talk draft, but you know, there's some big names here, and there's a big decision coming up for one organization.
Now, what's fascinating about it is the Bengals, Mike Brown, their owner, president, general manager, whatever he is, all the titles, he always has an inclination. He loves Big Ten players. What's ironic about it is Joe Burrow started his career at Ohio State, and he is from the state of Ohio. And he's also a quarterback. Now, I think Andy Dalton's got 1 year left on his contract, but Joe Burrow would seem to be the right answer. But, you know, Chase Young, to get a defensive end, it's always tempting. We talk about quarterbacks. They are, you know, you can't win without one. But you also need two pass rush ends. Carlos Dunlap, they have on one side, is pretty darn good, one of the better ones. I would say they would probably lean towards Joe Burrow. That would be my guess. But I have little doubt that those guys would be the 1-2 picks in the draft.
Mort, happy holidays to you. I'd love to hear some of your stories from the baseball winter meetings when you covered baseball. We've had maybe one of the most active and exciting last few days of the winter meetings they've had in many years with all these, I mean, unbelievable contracts. I mean, some of the NFL contracts you've covered are big. Nothing like what we've seen in baseball this week.
Yeah, but, you know, there's a select few of them. I'll go out with this little note. I talked to somebody who's been down there and said, you know, it's different than it used to be. You walk in and it looks like a nerd convention. So it's not the old baseball guys like I used to sit around with, the cigars and the stogies in their mouth and doing all that stuff. But, yeah, a lot of money going to guys who have you would have to say deserve it. We'll see if they can earn it in the long term.
Well, we'll try not to take that personally, Mort. But, thank you. Thank you.
Well, nerdy guys, I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about me.
They run the
I'm
world,
talking about
man.
The baseball guys.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
talking about the execs.
The execs, Ben.
They're Ivy League.
They're all Ivy League,
trained, educated, and it's a numbers game. Thanks, Mort.
All right, guys. See you later. Bye.
Thanks, Mort.
That's our ESPN
the
Mort Report.
Is presented by Hamul Casino. Winning excitement has a new name. Hamul Casino, San Diego's newest, closest, and most genuinely entertaining place to play. Just 20 minutes from downtown Highway 94 to Campo Road.
All right, going to give the name of our biggest fan in just a moment. First, we are due for a check of traffic. Let's see how the roadways are looking here from 97.3 The Fan and check in with Suda Vincent.
This report is brought to you by SDG&E. Careful on South 15. Got a 10-foot long wooden plank between the middle lanes north of the 56. Meantime, 56 now backed up west of the 15 through Carmel Valley. Southbound side of 5, we're jammed all down that coastline from Carlsbad into Cardiff. And northbound on 5 and 805 parking lot from the South Bay. 52 also heading west, barely rolling from Cottonwood towards the summit and on North 125 as you approach the 52. If you're in a car that's made contact with a down power line, call 911 and don't get out till an SDG&E worker indicates it's safe to do so. For more safety info, visit sdge.com/safety. Suda Vincent with Bennett Woods, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, I told you the prize package earlier, the SeaWorld tickets, the grand prize drawing for the Vegas getaway. Let's just get to the name here. Today's biggest fan on Ben and Woods, who's got 10 minutes to call in, is Richard Spagensky. Richard Spagensky, give us a call now, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. You've got 10 minutes to call in. Yesterday's biggest fan, by the way, did call in. If Richard doesn't, though, when we come back, I'll throw the prize back into the
hopper.
Hopper!
Love the hopper.
For the rest of our listeners. So stay tuned. Richard, you are on the clock. Good luck from Bennett Woods. A couple of thoughts. I asked Mort there about the Spygate, the videotaping with the New England Patriots. Did you see this side story that went along with the Patriots scandal this week? Orlando Scandrick, played for the Patriots, said that one standard procedure for the Pats, at least in the past, has been always going to the visiting team's hotel when they come into the, you know, the Foxborough area, yeah, wherever they're staying. And, you know, Sunday they leave the hotel, they check out in the morning, get on the bus, go to Gillette Stadium. So they clear out all the rooms, you know, all the areas. The Patriots will send a team employee to the hotel just to see if maybe someone left
you
their playbook or some notes or something while they were there. That someone forgot to clean up. They didn't throw something away. They didn't shred their trash. That the Patriots will do that. So keep that in mind, visiting teams in New England.
I mean, they literally think of everything. It wouldn't surprise me to see one of their guys pawing through the dumpster,
right,
looking for things he can put back together. Because you know what they do in these big hotels like this? They'll get one of those big ballrooms, and they'll do strategy, and they'll do walkthroughs.
Yeah.
They'll actually have a football in there, and they'll do like kind of a dry run on some plays and stuff. Wouldn't surprise me one bit. That's amazing. You actually have to tip your cap.
Almost.
You almost have to tip your cap.
Almost that level of it's detail, thoroughness.
Thoroughness. It's
thorough.
Detail.
That's
it's also
Bill
very
Belichick.
Devious. It's also very insane. But what if you were able to find out one signal, one play that they were thinking about running at a certain time?
I mean, you're
time.
Talking about, you know, 53 players, you know, plus injured guys, staff of coaches, you know, dozen deep staffers. A lot of them have playbooks. I mean, they're all young. You know what? They got other things on their mind. They got the game. They got their family. They got their girlfriend. You know, they're packing things up. They don't notice something that they left by the bedside table. Who knows what's there at the hotel? It is next level. And it does at least give you some insight into how Bill Belichick gets his edge in a league where normally no teams have a giant edge. You know, it's like the most parity that you got in any sport, yet the Patriots consistently are there at the end of the season. I got into a Lyft when we left yesterday, and my driver Mary just taking me back to my car a few minutes from Afghanistan originally, and she said, "I don't really know baseball," because she saw I was coming from the baseball winter meetings, more of a soccer, you know, fan. But I don't know baseball. I don't know football either. Football to me is soccer. But she says, "I know one thing: Patriots are going to win at the end of the season." I said, "Well, you." Probably smarter than just about anyone else. That's what you know. That's all she knew about football.
I want to say. Just my having they've been on so much lately. I've been watching them. I want to say, looking at them, there's no way. There's no way. Look what else is out there. And it won't surprise me a bit.
I still
said the same thing last year. I'm like, if they get in,
they're
to the
deadly.
AFC Championship, and if they get to the Super Bowl, I will not bet against them.
God,
so
terrible.
But our Gwyn and Chris afternoon producer Matt Scraby, he had what hot take on Twitter, yesterday that the Ravens are going to be
one and done
in the playoffs.
I tried to bet him, and he
which is
me.
Fine. But who isn't a one and done team in the AFC? I mean, every AFC contender right now has that whiff of one and done.
Except for the Ravens, I think.
Except for the Ravens, likely. But, you know, if you believe Scraby, they may all be one and done. Except, of course, they can't all be one and done.
Yeah.
Somebody has to win those games.
Yeah.
That's why I think the Ravens aren't going to be one and done. I mean, I think they're good. They're not some, you know, all-time team. I mean, they're a good team. They're not an all-timer. But all the teams they're going to go against in the AFC all seem to have weaknesses, including the Patriots, who just don't have much of an offense. They all have weaknesses. The Chiefs haven't been as dynamic as usual. The Texans, I mean, they just lost to the Broncos.
Yep.
You know, I just every team seems to be
flawed.
The Bills,
massively,
you know,
flawed.
They don't scare you at all. They're flaws
is,
all over the place.
Yeah, and the thing is the Patriots have warts too. They're just much better at hiding their warts. The time of year when they need to hide their warts.
Getting ready for the Rule 5 draft this morning at the Downtown Hyatt. By the way, all of our guests, including more, presented by Wingley Buddha Style Chicken, found at Sinley Foods. This is a lifestyle, not a fad. We'll see what's going on. Our last 2 hours at the winter meetings in San Diego. Half the show still to go with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.